Hi, it's Diane, and it is Wednesday, April 29th. I'm here with the, what time is it, 1 o'clock group. So far we have Tamar and Christine and Julie. And who wants to get started with a check-in?
I guess I'll start. This is Christine, and I had the pleasure of being gone for 5 days, so I don't have a whole lot to check it. I mean, everything is fine. Again, it is the end of school, and I guess one check-in is I'm kind of going through the process right now of filling out those forms to see if my daughter is ADHD. She's had a lot of just hard time staying focused, and it's been, you know, a thread throughout our life, and so we're kind of exploring that right now. So that's something different than what I often talk about.
Okay, great. Who else?
This is Tamar. So I had a success that I spoke, that I wrote on the Facebook post, that I had helped my son study for his Southeast States and Capitals exam or quiz or whatever he had this week, and gave him some hints to remember which capitals went to which states and where the states were. And he actually got an extension because he was not prepared for it the first day. And when he took it with the hints, he got 100, and I was very excited about that.
That's awesome, Smart. And I love just kind of the examples that you gave, and what was so brilliant about it is that you really spent the time to figure out how his brain works and came up with solutions for that. And it's really hard. It can be such a simple thing if you can figure out when your kid's brain, the way your kid's brain works in terms of memorizing things. And I still remember, because I've got two kids that are about 19 months apart, and it was probably when we were trying to learn all the state capitals, right? And you know, I'd watch my son memorizes the same way I do, which is an auditory sort of thing. Is this is the way the letters sound, or this is the way the words sound, and this is how I remember it. My daughter is completely visual, but when I finally realized that how she memorizes is by closing her eyes and picturing the words, I could then help her to learn how to memorize differently. So I was so glad that you shared that on Facebook, Tamar, because it was a great inspiration to everybody. I know that it's a struggle for lots. So thanks for that.
No, what I liked about it was that I came up with the reminders with him, and like if there was one that we had but it didn't remind him enough, or like he had made up a song but the song wasn't helpful enough, you know, we picked another one. We spent a while on it, but I mean, I'm just happy it's not all 50 states at once, because I'd be dying here. Now we're on to the next region.
Yeah, but, absolutely. Cool.
Yeah.
So I see somebody else joined us. Who's that?
This is Tammy.
Hey, Tammy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Good to hear your voice. Okay, so who else wants to do a check-in?
This is Julie, and a couple things. My son, who's 11, we're thinking about sending him to a summer adventure camp, the SOAR camp that you've probably all seen in those magazines. Kind of scary because he's 11 and it's scary to not be able to talk to him for 10 days, but I think it'll be good for everybody to kind of have a break and for him to work on some skills he doesn't have currently. The other thing is I'm also looking into learning more about oppositional defiant disorder, because I think that's where we are with him. So I'm just learning the information gathering, I guess, at this point about it.
I would encourage you, Julie, that with the SOAR piece, that might be another thing. I know that we've got articles and stuff by the owner. We love SOAR. But post on Facebook and see if anybody's had an experience and get some thoughts. It'll help you to feel more comfortable as you send it. You know, not just so much as SOAR, but it's kind of like, you know, what are some of the tips and tricks for staying connected or feeling better about letting your 11-year-old leave the house for, 10 days. And because it's scary to let them go, especially if you know that they're a complex kid. But the good thing about SOAR is that most they'll be in good company.
Right. Definitely.
Cool.
All right. Yeah, please.
This is Tammy. I just wanted to say about the camp. We just signed Dennis up for camp again, too. He's been going for, I think this will be his fourth year, and he's 11 as well. And it's absolutely excellent.
Is it a the SOAR camp specifically?
It isn't. No, it's but it's a different camp than that. But but the experience for him to be at camp for a great number of days is absolutely excellent. I would say he's 11 as well, and they let us stay in touch by emails, and all the everybody's queried and all of that stuff. But when you go to drop him off, you can spend a great deal of time talking to the people and the counselors and all that kind of thing. And it's been nothing but an absolutely great experience for us, because he's so happy, and for him too.
Okay.
Yeah. So, thank you for that, Tammy.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. So, Tammy, you want to do your check-in real quick?
Today everything is well. So it's good. Here in New England, it's still really cold, and the spring is still really starting to, it's having a hard time starting. So everything's just kind of coming out now, and the pollen and all that. Anyway, Dennis had a really bad weekend with his asthma, but anyway, he's been out of school for last week was vacation, so probably about 13 days in all. But he made it back today, and so he's doing well. It'll be okay.
I love your positive attitude. What's your so set it on the side for just a second and tell me what you're anxious about, because I can feel it underneath there.
Well, I he can't be running around and all that kind of thing. It was just a scary weekend. That's all. There must be a lot out at one time this year, because the weather's just so far behind. But even the flowers haven't opened up yet. It's just still a little chilly, But he's okay. I haven't heard from the school, so he's okay. But he had to go today because tonight's band, and he's in the parade and all of that. He can't go to band if you don't go to school and all that kind of thing. So it's all on the upswing, so. Good.
Okay. So I want to loop back to Christina. I want to loop back to you, and I want to ask, you mentioned about your daughter, and because we were talking about fears here. So what's your concern as you go through this process now with your daughter, because it's a really new and different thing for you?
Yeah, I don't actually have any real big concerns. I guess I have thought oh, wow, I've never – of all the research I've done with the ADHD, I've never kind of had to apply it to her. And, now knowing what I know just in some things, but she's so different. And I was thinking that this morning, she's such a different child than my son, so it's, and I guess, it just goes to show how different ADHD is in everybody, because she's just not like him. It doesn't show up the same way. I guess that's more where I worry more in life and other social skills and friendships and work and those things, where she's just, her main thing is just really staying focused in a classroom and not being distracted and having it. But other than that, in some ways it'd be good I've tried giving her the omega fish oils and stuff, because we've already talked about it, and to see if that would help. But I think she'd feel good. She works hard, and if she could keep herself at her, doing what she's doing kind of thing, I think it would make her feel a little bit,
more More confident?
Yeah, better. More confident. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for. Is it her confidence of staying on track and that kind of thing? Because she's got all the other tools already. So I don't know. I mean, not that I would be relieved, but I would be. It would make sense. And if it could help her, that'd be great. So we just have to
it's interesting because we don't, so many, particularly because sometimes when you get on these calls, we're all going through the same sorts of stuff. But it does look so different in so many different kids. And I know, I've got, my two are 19 months apart, and one's officially diagnosed, the other one's not diagnosed, but has some of the same challenges. She's, but until it gets in the way enough, you don't go through a diagnostic process. And so it's hard to see that, and it'll be interesting to see if some of the tools that you've learned, thinking about your son, you can now take and transpose them and say, okay, how would I use what I've learned,
right,
in a different way? And I know you've been using it to parent both your kids, but how could I use it in a more focused way to think through and get curious and take aim and think about some of the executive function challenges for her and really how they map those out a little bit and see where they show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Lisa, my eyes are wide open.
Yeah. Good.
We're doing the form together, which is interesting. And the doctor had said that we could fill out the parent form with her, together. And as we went through it, she goes, "Wow, this really explains Bannon," her brother.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, good. Well, I'm glad to hear you keeping your sense of humor about it. It doesn't sound like you're concerned. It sounds like it's answering some questions for you that'll make you feel a little bit more comfortable in terms of how to handle and support her. So, good.
Yep.
All right, so let's look back through and see where everybody wants to take aim. Christine, do you have a sense of where you want to take aim this week?
No, not yet. I'll think about it here.
Okay. Who wants to go?
It's Tamara. I'll go. I know I listened to Elaine's family meeting webinar, and we want to start that this week.
Okay. So tell me specifically, family meeting could be a solution. What challenges specifically do you want to address potentially using a family meeting?
Scheduling and just in general.
Okay. The general family building?
Yeah. Buy-in.
Okay.
I'm going to put you on mute now because I'm at work.
Okay. No problem.
I'm getting a little loud here. Well, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
This is Julie, and I have a couple things I want to get done this week, and that is, I guess that's really not what I'm taking aim on in this call, but learning about the oppositional defiant disorder and getting, maybe buying a book about it or something, getting some more resources on that, and then the camp thing, doing more research there and just making sure it's the right thing to do and to get them all, the application submitted, so.
Well, and that sounds like great action plans for you. So, but I do, as you hinted, let's take you back to the challenge. So, it sounds like are you seeing some behavior change in your son, which is making you feel like something's different with the ODD, or are you feeling like there's what was it that suddenly gotten you curious about ODD?
Well, I've suspected it for some time, and just haven't been in a place in my brain to look at it really and face it, because I guess denial was feeling better than facing it. So it's time to just accept what it is.
Yeah. Well, and so can I throw in a resource for you potentially?
Yes, please.
I'm reading Dr. Ross Green. It's called The Explosive Child.
Okay.
Ross Green, and I really like the book a lot. It gives a different way of approaching and looking at kids who have a hard time controlling controlling themselves, which is kind of what you describe when you think about ODD, as well as, you know, kids who lose their temper, and we've got some parents who have kids who kick walls in and hit and that sort of stuff. So it's kind of a combination of things, but it's a really great different kind of perspective of looking at what's really going on for our kids. It's much more brain-based than behavior-based, which I'm finding very interesting.
Okay.
So it sounds like you're taking aim on when you say ODD. What is the challenge that shows up for you?
Back talk and kind of defiant, trying to, if I say, give me the remote control or something, and he doesn't want to, he will just, you know, hide it behind his back, and he's very stubborn, but mm-hmm. more than just stubborn, I think, and the only thing that seems to kind of work for him is for me to threaten to take away innings in his baseball game. I'll tell him he's going to have to sit out for a baseball game, but it's, you know, I don't want to have to take that away, but that's sort of where it works for him. Trying to think of other examples, just very disrespectful language, and he pushes buttons, and I don't know if he's entertained by it, but it almost feels like he is, and that bothers me.
Yeah, of course.
Entertained by someone suffering.
Yeah, it feels uncomfortable to imagine that your child would be enjoy somebody else's discomfort.
Yes,
I have had those same experiences and those same feelings too with my son.
Yeah, and so let's consider that as one of our laser coaching opportunities today. Maybe we can, since a couple of you resonate with that, maybe we'll jump in on that one. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So Tammy, was that you? Do you want to say what you want to take aim on?
I'm just starting to. I just ordered a book about nutrition and trying to balance out the nutrition more. I guess, her last name is Dorfman. I can't remember her first name right now.
Kelly Dorfman.
Kelly, yeah. I just ordered that, so I'm really looking forward to reading that book and seeing if I can.
So take me back a step, Tammy. What's your goal in reading Kelly's book? What are you trying to focus in on?
Well, he has severe allergies, food allergies, and asthma, and the ADHD. So I was trying to just kind of get another in to, you know, help him to kind of control the ADHD a little bit more.
Okay, so you want to take aim on exploring how you might use nutrition as a tool.
Yes.
Okay, that's great.
Yep, and I'm really excited to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Christine.
Oh yeah. I guess working with my daughter about just, you know, a little bit more structure and working on some of her confidence. She's been very good at self-advocating, getting a math tutor, another high school girl, and she doesn't feel good about math. And when this girl does help her, she does do well. So it's just kind of supporting her in when she works hard, that she does do well, and that it does take time, and or not time, but positive. You know, you have to be positive yourself. And I don't know. I don't like it when they, oh, I'm so terrible and I'm not good. I'm just not good at it. I'm just not good. And I always try to say, well, if you're going to keep talking like that, then you won't be good. You know, trying to take a spin that
right.
to make it, you know, to keep it positive. And so I guess in supporting her and getting her maybe a little bit more of a structure or schedule. Her lacrosse is coming to an end, and so she's going to have more free time. So I guess sort of keeping her focused to the end of the year or getting on something like that.
Yeah, so how to help her both with structure and confidence, and specifically to do it with more of a positive spin. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, good. Did I get 1, 2, 3, 4? Yep, I got everybody. Let me double check. Did anybody else join us? 1, 2, 3, 4. Nope, we still got the same 4 people. Awesome. Okay, so let's go to our workbooks. Our topic this week is keeping it simple. The acronym I still remember from, you know, years ago in corporate when this first kind of came in was KISS, keep it simple, stupid. You know, so it's kind of like, don't forget, keep it simple. And, you know, when I think of this, is kind of two areas that we focus in on today are, you know, setting appropriate expectations and then also on using systems and structures. And as I was talking with the groups yesterday about this, kind of three areas of family life with complex kids come up when we're thinking about keeping it simple. The first one is around systems and structures. And I was talking to a mom about this earlier today. It's like, you know, it's so easy when you have a behavior system or a process that you use or a checklist or something to make it really overly complex. Elaine will tell the story that, like, one of the first behavior management charts she ever did was, like, literally supposed to manage her daughter's behavior from the moment she gets up to the moment she went to bed, and it completely failed because there was just way too much complexity to it. And so as we look at the systems we have, and that's part of why we encourage everybody to take AIM every week, because it is really easy to get overwhelmed or distracted or lose sight of what, you know, what you're focused on, you know, when you're adding points and taking away points. And I think we've talked about this in this group before, but making sure that, you know, we're keeping our systems as simple as possible so we don't overwhelm our kids, so we don't overwhelm ourselves, is a really important piece of it. The second thing that kind of comes up for me around keeping it simple is a lot about the way we communicate to our kids. And so many times when things start to get hot or we get triggered or we get into a discussion with our kids, we tend to go overboard. Or when we're giving people instructions, we tend to go overboard. One of the moms on the call yesterday was saying that whenever she gives her child something to do, she gives him 3 reasons why he should do it. And so she was remarking about how much she talks about this stuff instead of just giving direction. And I think a lot of times, particularly when our kids start to get triggered, the more we talk, the more we sound like, what was it, Charlie Brown's teacher, where it's like, blah, 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 right? And they don't even hear us. And not only that, but some of the language we use tends to trigger them. And so being very clear and concise with our communication, and I'll do this with my kids still now, it's, you know, bed now instead of turn, you know, and having a long, drawn-out conversation about why I think they need to go to bed now or that they need to go to bed now. But just being as clear and concise in the way we communicate, because our kids can't a lot of our kids can't process that quickly, or they're distracted, and so we get, you know, halfway through a sentence and we've lost their attention. So communication style is a second place to really focus on and keeping it simple. And then the third place for me is around our own life and the complexity of it. And having kids is complex enough. There's sports and there's extracurricular stuff and there's tutors and there's appointments and there's everything else. And, you know, it's figuring out and being really clear about what our priorities are to make sure we're doing things because it's a priority for us and not because we have a have to. And a lot of us kind of went into this parenting thing with this vision of what we wanted to be as a parent. It's like, I'm going to be the room mother, and I'm going to be on the PTA, and I'm going to do crafts with my kids, and I'm going to make homemade Halloween costumes or whatever it is. And then we end up with complex kids instead of, you know, typical kids. And our life is a little bit more overwhelming. And so if we still continue to try to volunteer for 7 different community committees, it may not be realistic because our life is pretty overwhelming to start with. And so finding ways to really simplify and focus your life in a way that gives you pleasure and gives you a sense of priority for you is a really powerful thing to focus in on. So those are the 3 things that kind of came up for me as I was thinking about this idea of keeping it simple. So I'd love to hear from you guys what you think about this topic.
Well, I like the idea of keeping what you're saying simple, because I tend to go on and on, and even my son will tell me to quit talking sometimes. Just like, you know, like I've got it, and I've tried to learn those cues from him that he's checking out, and but he's also telling me, so I feel like, you know, it's a good balance. But I think it's important to think about what you're saying or how much you're saying, because they really do check out.
Yeah, so Christine, what is it about explaining yourself that you think is important?
I guess it would be sharing either my side or what I'm thinking, or to give him a better, or her, whoever it is, you know, a better understanding of whatever I'm talking about. But I'm probably, you know, and so, you know, it can just get too lengthy.
Well, and there's kind of three things that I think tend to go on. One is many of us are big picture people. And so if, you know, if somebody were to ask you to do something, understanding where it fits in a bigger project might be helpful to you as an adult. And that's the way your brain works. And I know that that's the way my brain works. If somebody doesn't tell me why I'm doing something, I have a harder time figuring out what I'm supposed to do. The second thing is that for a lot of us is that there's that I don't want to be one of those moms who just says, because I said so, I say so. I want to always have a good reason for asking me to do something. And so we tend to explain ourselves to our kids a lot because we don't want them to think we're just trying to be, you know, to be on a power trip or try to instruct them. And then the third thing is, you know, kind of sometimes a little bit of self-doubt might creep in, you know. And so we, you know, we're trying to explain it so that we can convince ourselves that what we're doing is really, you know, the right thing to do. So I don't know if any of those apply to you, Christine, but that's kind of what I sense when we over-communicate.
Yeah, for sure.
Anybody else who comes up for you on this idea of keeping it simple?
Well, I just, Diane, I just had a question. I'm listening, you know, to what you're saying, and I think I feel like I'm way far behind what you're saying. I just we've been working so hard on the meltdowns, you know, and they were so intense, and Dennis has been working so hard on the coping skills and you know, some strategies just to get through, you know, a school day sometimes, and the meltdowns, just to get through those. So I really don't have, you know, like a chart or anything like that that would just, we can just go slow, right? I mean, he's just, I mean, obviously with the other kids,
Tammy, you are doing so perfectly, and I think this is the thing with this program is that everybody works at their own pace, and I, you know, we were talking to some folks yesterday, and you know, the reality is we've got some people in this group who are going through their third time already, and we're getting, one of the things I'll talk about at the end is, you know, it's okay, what's next for you, and we're getting ready to start another round again, but, you know, take what you can from this conversation, and the goal here is not to tell you that you're supposed to have any kind of system or structure in place, but I think that when it comes to complexity, that's one of the things I see very frequently with families is that they have structures in place. And when they put structures in place, they're more complex than they need to be. And so that would be the takeaway of my heart for you would be when you're ready to put a structure in place, or when you're thinking about putting a system or a structure in place to make it really simple. And you may have a structure in place around, you know, managing meltdowns or even the trigger management sorts of things that we do. I mean, that's a real basic structure. So don't feel bad about yourself. You're doing great work, Tammy.
Okay. Well, I've let so many things go because he's putting so much work into some other things. So
yeah.
I mean, some of my other kids were, I mean, you know, when they're not complex, you know, they just kind of, you just kind of model it and you just kind of do it and that's that. And it's just so different with these last two.
Yeah.
We seem to be at a much slower pace, but that's fine. So,
well, and remember, it takes a 3-5 challenge, Tammy. You know, 11,
well, we,
10,
oh,
9,
yeah,
8,
yeah.
7, 6. You know, so you're talking about a 6-year-old and in some areas of development. So.
Oh, right. Know. But I mean, I'm the one that doesn't have the other things in place yet. I've kind of let them go. You know, I figure if they can just the routine's in place. That's kind of enough right now with everything.
Yeah,
but
that's
okay. That's
great. That's great to have that. I mean, that's
like, all right.
What you've done. So here's the thing. Remember, Tammy, each week you take aim on something and you come up with a strategy, and you've done that consistently, and you've done a great job. And you know, and when I think about all the people in these groups, you've probably been live on a call. More than a lot of other people have been able to. So, yep, just keep doing what you're doing and go at the pace you're at, and you're doing great work.
Oh, well, thanks. And I just have one other question, too, about the summer. When the summer comes up with the two little ones, I tend to want to take time with them, like kind mm-hmm. of hoard time with them. So they don't really hang out with friends too much. You know, but that's okay, right? I mean, the school year is really tough with friends sometimes. So,
it's, Tammy, it sounds like you're asking for permission to do something. What is it that you're doing?
I do. to not have them hang out with friends so much in the summer.
What would be the downside of not hanging out with friends?
Well, I mean, it's a lot less stressful. I mean, there's no downside to me, for me, but I just...
Okay.
I just like to hang out with them.
What's the worry? What's the worry?
Because everybody else is hanging out with friends, I guess. I don't know. I guess I should just not care, but everybody else is doing
it. Is this a big, giant should that you need to just let go, Tammy?
I guess, yeah. Yes, it is. I just like to hang out with them in the summer. You know?
And I have to tell you that's awesome, and it's awesome that you have the ability to do that, because there's plenty of moms out there that don't have the ability to hang out with their kids and don't want to hang out with their kids.
Right.
And, you know, it's so, you know, be clear on what your goals are for your kids and, you know, and figure out how it all fits together.
Right, right. Well, yes, absolutely. Well, right now I have to stay with them because my husband would just, you know, pass out if it wasn't around. You wouldn't even absolutely pass out. But
okay,
yeah,
Tammy, if you were going to keep it simple, what would you do differently?
What would I do differently?
Yeah.
Than what I usually do? I mean, I just wouldn't add anything. I like what we do in the summer. You know, we have enough in the summer. I don't really need to add anything. But then, you know, you listen to, I mean, you just kind of listen to what other people are doing and everything, and it seems like so much more. But it's all right if
okay.
I just kind of hold them back a little bit. That's fine. Right? I mean, it's just checking in, that's all.
Yeah. Well,
can I pipe in?
Go ahead. Please do.
This is Julie. I just want to say I like to not have a whole lot going on. Some families, they love to go and do and be social and all that, and that's great for them. But for us, it's harder because my kids my son is challenging, and so it's just easier sometimes to just stay home, and that's okay. I don't feel bad about that. I mean, every once in a while I do, but then I think this is what's going to work for us, and forget all the other people. It doesn't matter. I mean, every childhood is different. Every kid is raised different, and they're going to grow up to be fine adults, even if they stayed home all summer with mom. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Well,
right.
They're
just
creating good memories, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. They're just getting older, so I just wanted to check in. And I just kind of like to keep them with me for a little while, you know?
So. Well, and that's the thing, is that trust that you're honoring your values and know that you're doing, you know, you gotta let go of the shoulds if it's a should. If it's a, gee, I'd like to, but I'm having a hard time to, which is not what it sounds like, you know, then take some action. But right now it just feels like, you know what you want to do, and honor that. Trust that.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Cool. Well, thank you.
Keep it simple, Tammy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What, so what about anybody else? What comes, anything, any other thoughts on keeping it simple?
I already kind of said this is Julie, but we do keep it fairly simple. We don't do a lot of after school activities. Our kids don't have a lot of homework. They go to a charter school that doesn't require much, and I like that. It's hard with challenging kids. It's harder to go and do all that stuff, and I have a challenging husband, and so it's just easier to work, go home, and just relax and try to get through the evening. And we do baseball in the spring, so it's a little bit hectic right now, and I'll be happy when that's over so that we can go back to our little quiet, peaceful evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it.
Awesome. Great role model. All right. So what do you guys say? We shift gears. Julie, you want to do a little laser coaching on this back talk and defiance?
Yeah, we can try. Yeah.
Okay. So you said that it's starting to look like ODD. There's a lot of back talk and defiance going on. He's pushing buttons. When you get really curious, what do you think is going on for him?
I think he has gotten some sort of reaction at school from the other kids that his sort of he takes things kind of to the next level, and so I think he kind of, they laugh or he gets some kind of attention from it, I believe, and but he doesn't know when to stop. So like the silly behavior or the, now, I mean, he's 11 and he doesn't really know a whole lot about drugs, but it's from a song, but he'll go around saying, smoke weed every day. And I know he's mm-hmm. just doing it to be annoying. I mean, I think we have talked with him a little bit about drugs and shown him pictures of the nightmare people who are on meth and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, the conversation's been started, but he takes that, and he'll say it all day long and annoy, and then he'll just be mean to his sister
So he's gotten a reaction that one scenario is that he's gotten a reaction that he likes, and so
yes.
he's repeating it because he goes, okay. So what else might be going on for him?
Well, he doesn't have good social skills, and so I think that he's probably trying to figure out how to fit in, and so he's probably,
he's experimenting.
He's experimenting with his behaviors, and and he also doesn't always get great feedback from us and from his sister, and because he's impulsive and different.
All right. So the third thing that's going on is that he's impulsive.
Oh yeah.
And he has a hard time managing that piece of it. Okay.
Yes, definitely.
All right.
And then he just, he's angry, I think. And we've talked to a therapist or a psychiatrist about depression, and he said no, that he doesn't have depression. But I think there's just more to it than just ADHD. I think there's,
what it sounds like is that he's frustrated because he doesn't want to be broken. He doesn't want you guys to meddle. What's the because?
I think he's frustrated that he doesn't fit in.
Okay.
I mean, I really
think it has more to do
with school.
Yep. So here's a kid who doesn't fit in.
Yeah.
He's frustrated that he doesn't fit in. He's experimenting with different ways to fit in, but he doesn't have great social skills.
Yeah.
He's impulsive. And potentially on some level he got a negative reaction that might have been a positive reinforcement.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So what do you want his behavior to, what part of his behavior do you want to be different?
I would like for him to not backtalk all the time, and to be able to see someone's facial expression and understand that they're not pleased with the way he's behaving. So whether it's a peer or an adult, I don't think he can read those social cues.
Okay. So those are two very different things. So the question is, which one of those? So backtalk is, I ask you to do something and you have to verbalize your response for a say no or whatever else. Mm-hmm. And then reading the social cues is noticing when I'm upset and being able to react to that. So which of those two feels like the right place to start? Because it doesn't mean you can't tackle them both, but I want to encourage you to take aim one place or the other.
The backtalk.
Okay. So when you think about the backtalk, and you're going to take aim on backtalk, mm-hmm. you know he's impulsive, you know he has a hard time with social skills, you know he's gotten a reaction in the past.
Mm-hmm.
What's a realistic expectation for him at the developmental stage that he's at right now?
Yeah.
Is it realistic for him to not talk back, or is it realistic for him to apologize when you correct him for talking back? Is it realistic for him to respond when you ask him to do it again? You know, because I'm thinking about some of the strategies you could use.
That's
it would be
something.
Try again, or we don't talk to each other
like
that.
And that's something I'll do is I'll say try again, and he will usually. Well, sometimes it's and right away he'll try again and do it properly, and sometimes it takes several tries for him. You know, I'll just keep saying it until he says it something appropriate back.
So I think that's
reasonable.
So what progress have you seen in this area?
Progress. Well, I haven't really been focused in on it, and so I haven't maybe been looking for progress. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Well, and I don't be sorry, but it's the question is, you know, is he doing better at it? But it's hard to notice because he's not to the end point yet, right? Which is really easy to do is to get frustrated, because if there's six steps of maturity on this thing and he went from one to three already. Three is still kind of stinks. Three is I got to tell you seven times to try again, and the seventh time you get it. You know, but he may be at the place where he's, you know, he's thinking about it. And so I guess the question is, you know, if it's about taking aim on this particular behavior and really focusing in and saying for the next 2 weeks, I really want to pay attention to backtalk, and I want that to be the one thing we're going to focus on. And I still have a little post-it note on our wall that says "Don't be sassy," and it's got a little picture of a bee on it. And for mm-hmm. 2 weeks, we worried about was being sassy, and we just mm-hmm. paid attention to that, and that was the only thing we kind of really focused in on and redirected. And so that's again, this kind of comes back to the whole conversation about taking aim.
Mm-hmm.
Is there so many challenges with our kids? You know. If you just took aim on backtalk for the next 2 weeks, what would that look like?
I think he would make a lot of progress. I think if we just worked on that, I know it would be good for, I mean, I could apply it to my daughter too, and I can do that. I can say, try again.
But here's the thing, Julie, you gave me lots of good reasons for him to be behaving the way he is. I mean, and I'm not saying that that it's great that he's doing this, but it makes perfect sense. This is a 11-year-old who's doesn't have very great social skills. He's experimenting with his reactions. He's impulsive. He's frustrated that he's in the situation he's in, and he's gotten some negative reinforcement. It makes perfect sense that he's behaving the same way that he is.
So
have some compassion for him and help him to learn the tool of communicating in a way that feels good for other people. Mm-hmm. That's really what you're trying to do. Because this is a skill he's going to have for a lifetime, which is when your boss tells you to do something you really don't want to do, you don't say, "Are you kidding me?" out loud.
Right. Yeah, not out loud.
Not out loud, right? And so, you know, and it's about noticing what his maturity level is and what he can handle and what he can't, and really focusing in.
Okay.
What does anybody else want to throw in? Because I know a couple of you are dealing with similar situations.
Actually, it sounds just like my son. It sounds just like him. And what worked with Dennis is when I turned it around and I started saying to him, you know, when you talk like that, you really hurt my heart. And when I explained to him that he was really hurting my heart, that's when he got it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the language that we use. And then he can grasp that, oh, yeah, that, you know, I'm really making her hurt. You know, I'm really making her sad. I'm really making her feel bad. But that's really the only way that he grasped that.
Well, I think that's the piece of it. So it may not be, you know, for everybody else, it may not be the same thing as it is for Tammy. It may be that that's a great way to say it. What I would encourage everybody to do, and I don't know, Tammy, if you do this in the moment or after the fact, but when our kids are already kind of in that emotionally intense place where they're triggered, and they're backtalking and triggered. Sometimes our kids backtalking are not triggered, but sometimes they're triggered and backtalking. You know, telling your child that they're hurting your feelings might be exactly what they want to hear, and it might push them further.
Right.
So just know that there's a time and a place to have that conversation, and when they're triggered may not be the best time to have that conversation.
Yeah, that's true.
Cool. All right. So, Julie, what do you want to do with this?
I think a sign on the wall is a good idea. I like the don't be sassy. Mine probably won't be as cute with a little B, but something similar, just to keep it top of mind, and that's what I'm working on for the next 2 weeks, and try to get my husband to do the same. And it can apply really to my son and my daughter. She has her moments too. But it's mostly him, and I'm a sign on the wall to remind me. I think that's good.
Mm-hmm. Good. Awesome. Okay, so let's go to our questions at the end here and see where we're at. I'm on page 57.
57.
Wow. We're almost done for getting through this whole workbook. That's pretty amazing. Okay, so four questions. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success? Take a minute, write down some notes. And then when you're ready, would love to hear from you guys. And just so you guys know, Tamar had to drop off at some point in the call. She was at work when she was calling, so she's not on anymore.
Well, this is Julie, and I focused on initially learning about oppositional defiant disorder, which I still intend to work on, but my clarity is that keeping it simple really is good, and I've really tried to do that in my words and in my day-to-day life with my kids. But it's good to just kind of refresh that's the right approach for these kids, and that me saying try again is a great thing to say. But that's something I'm going to keep working on, and putting the sign on the wall, don't be sassy, or something along those lines as a reminder for all of us. So I'm going to do that tonight. And, yeah, that's how I'm going to set myself up for success, is just by the reminder, the physical reminder of that tool. So thank you.
So what the question I'm called to ask you, that sounds fancy, but is what do you have to let go of in order to just focus on this one thing?
I guess I have to let go of my expectation that my husband will do the same.
Hmm. Okay, that's great. Is there a fear there? Is there a frustration there? Is there a what's underneath that?
Oh, lots of frustration, years of frustration of, you know, I'm doing one thing and he's doing something different. And I think, I suspect that's part of the oppositional defiant disorder situation that we're in. I don't know for sure, but I suspect.
Yeah, and it's hard. I mean, it's really a difficult situation to be in when you're not handling things consistently with the person you're co-parenting with. And it's frustrating because depending on how, you know, opposite they are and whether they don't agree with what you're saying or whether they're just completely checked out. I mean, it's a difficult situation to be in, you know, Julie. Yeah. So just trust, you know, my advice to you is to just trust that, you know, your actions are going to move the situation as forward as they can be, and keep that positive attitude that's going to help you to feel okay about doing it on your own for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie. Who else? Tammy, Christine?
I just have to just move forward with just what I think that they need and not worry about that they're getting older and that they should be, you know, not should, but that I don't put them in more activities and things like that because I just know that wouldn't be good for them right now. So, I mean, they're in enough right now, you know, and I just need to be okay with that. And I am okay with that, but I just want to
say, so what's it going to take for you to feel, so on a scale of 0 to 10, how okay do you really feel about that?
No, I really do feel okay. Like, I really do feel okay about it. It's just that they're getting older, so I just wanted to be sure that I wasn't holding them back, kind of, you know? So I haven't even let the little one go to camp yet, but I don't feel like he's ready to go to camp yet. And that's okay. So I'm just going to enjoy them, you know, since they're so far behind. Both of them are, and that's okay.
So what do you need to do to set yourself up for success with this thing, Tammy?
Well, we have the summer pretty well planned, and I'm just, you know, in the days that we can go out and do some day trips, and I'm just going to enjoy them and not worry about. They shouldn't be anywhere other than where they're at, you know, as far as age.
Okay.
So I'm just gonna hang on to the 3 to 5 years back because that's really where they're at. So,
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Christine.
Yeah. I guess I was just, I mean, as far as paying attention is just listening to Julie and, you know, my boy is 6 years older than her 11-year-old and it's been all the, you know, it's been so similar all the way. And I think that they're just really good about getting reactions. Once they get a reaction, it becomes their MO. And, you know, it's not just my kid, which you often feel that way. So it's, as I paid attention to that, and I guess the clarity is that they all, that it must be something in their makeup and that gets them. I know that when we've had run-ins with our son and, you know, trying to be either not necessarily soft, but without having to yell or get in his face and stuff, you try a different approach, he'll come back and say, pretty much, he said that it doesn't mean anything to him until we're losing our mind and, like, you know, screaming at him. That doesn't make us as parents feel good, but that's like when he clicks and he gets it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like he turns, you know, it's things. And my husband and I look at each other like it's the craziest thing. Like, why does it have to go to that? But then there's a change and we don't like it. We don't feel good doing that. And we can't imagine that he feels good, but it's just, so it's it's just so different.
We can talk more about this, but you know, is it that what's probably happening is there's something that's triggering his motivation. So it might be the great opportunity to kind of go back to those things that motivate the ADHD brain. And my guess is that emotional intensity, so it's endorphin, right? So that stimulates everybody's brain, is that if they get a rush from getting angry or getting frustrated or being on the defensive, that really does often give us a rush to the brain. And the question is, what else could you do? And you know, the question would be, do you feel like you've tried absolutely everything, or is there an opportunity to go back and say, is there something that does feel good that we might be able to do that would work?
Yeah, I mean, I think of those things. I think, you know, I mean, he's 17, but 3 to 5 years, you know, he's a teenager, he's a boy. You know, there's so many things that are also affecting his behavior that's, you know, you just wonder where it is. And I guess in some ways, as far as what I guess a realistic step when what I've been trying is just kind of the not reacting to the things that are not that big a deal or that I may have reacted to before. Now I can see him coming and he'll say him and I'll just sort of look at him and I can tell he's just trying to get me to, you know, to get something from me. And I just, you know, okay, whatever, and move on, and not giving him the, you know, the feel good about it or whatever, but just sort of, it's me figuring him out as well. So, I need to react when it's important and keep some of the reactions, because we all do it, I guess.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and I think that's the piece of it, is figuring out a response that feels good for everybody. So,
mm-hmm.
So what do you take away as action?
Well, for that is to hear, I guess, and like you say, is to figure out what, you know, if there is something else underneath, or, but to take it, you know, it's just to be knowing him and, or to know him and continue to feel like I'm knowing him and seeing where he is trying to be a trigger or not, and stay connected to him.
Right. Cool. All right. All right, good call, everybody. So we are meeting again next week because of holidays and stuff like that. So just know that we've got 2 weeks in a row here. And then the other thing I wanted to just put in a plug for is that we have a bunch of people who just finished up Sanity School, and we're making a change to the Parent Success System, so it's going to start being a year-round program. We've heard from a lot of parents that they need something in the summer. Maybe it's a little bit different than what we do during this school year, but they need the support all year round, and we believe that that's absolutely what parents need. So we're going to be communicating with you guys. You'll see an email in the next couple weeks about possibly sticking with Parent Success System even after the school year and moving into the next 12 months. We're going to have a special deal that we're offering, and hope to keep some of you guys in and engaged through the next year. So keep an eye out for
Thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.